Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you. In this segment, I wanted to talk about three false assumptions about eternal security, or unconditional eternal security, which is meant by the term eternal security, or once saved, always saved, by those who believe and perpetrate this doctrine of devils, are going to be found to be false teachers in the end. That's going to be regrettable on their behalf, because God warned us that every false teacher and every false prophet shall have damnation. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Eternal security, is it biblical? Let's put this popular doctrine to the test of Holy Scripture. Before we start that and touch on these three false assumptions about eternal security, I wanted to note that it's quite amazing that while peddling this unconditional eternal security lie, they claim that this is part of the gospel of Jesus, and yet it's actually the first lie Satan ever told, which led to the fall of the first man and woman, who were otherwise sinless before Satan cast this stumbling block before them and caused them to fall from grace and to be removed from the presence of God. Genesis chapter 2, verses 17, and Genesis 3, verse 4, make it irrefutably, plainly clear that once saved, always saved, unconditional eternal security, was the absolute first lie, first teaching of Satan. You got people running around claiming this is part of the gospel of Christ. This is a blasphemous assertion at best. Also, it absolutely contradicts the teaching of Jesus and his apostles. I mean, why would Jesus have told his own 12? Were they not his? If they weren't his, nobody has ever been his. Why would he have told them to endure to the end to be saved? That they had to endure to the end to be saved. What could that possibly mean other than what he said? You got to endure to that. You're going to be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. Matthew 10:22. Jesus is warning them. Jesus gave full disclosure, unlike most preachers today who are absolutely corrupt, and that's seen in that they don't stick to scripture. They're certainly not going to warn you about things, including what Jesus warned his own disciples about. These guys are absolute frauds. They're hiding stuff from you because they're trying to get your accolades and to get you as a keep you as a repeat customer, because numbers equal money to them. They're building a church business. They're building the house on sand, and yours too if you're funding it. Jesus said, Matthew 10:22, when is the last time to make the point? If I'm missing something, somebody can let me know and I will repent and correct it publicly. But when is the last time you heard a preacher give you the warning of Jesus? See, it's one thing to preach your version, you know, version or carefully selected verses of the gospel. It's another thing to preach and simply reveal the gospel that Jesus preached. You see, that's the one we're going to be judged against, Romans 2:16 and John chapter 12, verse 48. Jesus says we're going to be judged by the words he's spoken, and we all have a Bible. And so let me encourage you to make sure you, beloved, are in the Word of God every day, and that you're adhering to the words of God and not filtering it through me or any other man. But you're learning and studying, getting your own eyes on the naked, raw Word of God. Amen. Because I could be misleading you, and you won't know that if you're not in the Word yourself. Amen. When the Berean believers heard even the Apostle Paul preach, they weighed him in the balance against Holy Scriptures. They searched the Scriptures daily to see whether or not those things Paul was saying were true or false. Acts 17, verse 10 and 11. And God called them, quote, more noble. And that's what he wants us to be, more noble. And the only way way you're going to be able to do that is to study to show yourself approved individually unto God, not man. Study to show your own self approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed. You're going to be as anybody who does not study the word of God for themselves. That is, in the end, they're going to be ashamed, and they're not going to be able to rightly divide the word of truth. They're not going to be able to judge what's true or false. Discernment, Ezekiel 44:23. A true servants of the Lord, Ezekiel says, teach my people, the Lord saying through Ezekiel, to discern between the holy and the profane, you know, the true and the false. And you can't weigh in the balance. You can't test all spirits and judge things correctly unless you are learning divine measuring standard. And that's the word of God. Amen. And so let's get back to our point here. If enduring to the end were not essential, why did Jesus warn us repeatedly and his apostles that you must endure to the end to be saved? You must continue in the faith rooted and built up in him and not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Colossians 1:22-23. And the New Testament writings are absolutely replete, full of warnings. We've got three books on this subject, and one of them is, it's called Lie of the Ages. It's available on Amazon or safeguardyoursoul.com on the store page. So if enduring to the end were automatic for these 12 elect men, these 12 apostles of Christ, the 12 original apostles of Christ, why did the Son of God bother telling them that it was essential for them to endure to the end? Tell me, folks, why? And by the way, one of them did not endure to the end, and we've got some stuff on Judas on the website. In fact, we have a category on Judas, so you can just put the word Judas, J-U-D-A-S, in the search box. So recently, here's our three points here we want to make. This subject is hard to keep short. Anyway, so recently I read a meme that was posted, and it had a list of about 20 or 25 things that are the truth, biblical truth, to all that are in Christ. But three of those things stood out to me as I read through the list, and I addressed the individual who had posted it, and that resulted in quite a discussion there. He's one of those guys who just believes in the eternal security of the believer, as they say, you know, and he's not going to no amount of scripture that contradicts that lie is going to convince him. So according to Titus 3:10-11, the Bible says after the first and second admonition, reject a heretic. And so anybody who's believing this lie and is going to, in the face of scripture that completely contradicts that unconditional eternal security lie, not only that, it's rooted in the Garden of Eden, and it was Satan's first teaching. Anybody who's going to continue to just hurdle over, set aside, and ignore scripture that clearly refutes this lie is a heretic, period. Doesn't matter how nice they are, how well-spoken as a pastor, or whatever they are, articulate, whatever, they're still a heretic in the eyes of God. This is a doctrine of devils, and there's a seducing spirit behind it. And those who have believed this lie have been turned over by God and sent a strong delusion because they do not love the truth. They love the tradition, not their truth, and it's an eternity of difference. And all you got to do is read what Jesus said to the phony religious leaders of his day about tradition. He said they were willing to set aside the word of God so that they could keep their own tradition. And that's exactly what you have here with the OSAS deceivers. Mark 7:6-10. So the first of the three points that stood out to me on this guy's list of things that are the blessings of God to all that are in Christ. Number one, here it is. You possess eternal life. That's absolutely true. Jesus said, he that believeth has, H-A-T-H in the King James Bible, hath eternal life. You already have it when you're born again. The error, though, is to teach against Holy Scripture by saying that now, the now saved person, the person who got saved, whether it was a minute ago or 10 years ago, doesn't matter, cannot ever lose his place with God. That is absolutely a heresy. That is against the teachings of Jesus. Think about the 10 virgins. Jesus said all 10 of them, the kingdom of heaven was likened unto 10 virgins. Notice the kingdom of, not hell, but heaven, was not likened unto 5, but unto 10 virgins. But we know in Jesus' teaching, this is one of the points he's trying to convey, that there are 5 of them, the unwise, the foolish virgins, who did not remain in communion with the bridegroom. That's Jesus, and we are the virgins. And therefore, they were shut out of the bridal chamber. That's Jesus' warning to us, whether you like it or not, that those who don't endure to the end, those who do not abide, remain in Christ, and therefore
powerful, will be full of his oil, will be shut out of his eternal kingdom. And the Apostle Peter told us that it's going to be worse with them in on the day of judgment and for all eternity in hell than if they had never known the way of righteousness. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 through 21. This is a heresy to say that because you possess eternal life now, you could never forfeit it. These people live by unscriptural cliches. Let me give you an example, and more of them are expressed and written in the book Lie of the Ages, but here's a few of them. Have you ever heard these? Once in grace, always in grace. Not a scripture. Here's another one. We've already said it. Once saved, always saved. Never found in the Bible. No such wording or teaching other than Satan's first teaching and the teaching of the false prophets. For example, if you're taking notes, you're going to learn a lot. I'm telling you, write this down. Lamentations 2:14, and also in the book of Jeremiah 23:17, you will see that the prophets expose the false teachers for promising security and peace with God, to those who were living in sin. And if you think that somebody who got saved can't go back into sin, you're not a very honest person, are you? No, let me help you. No, you're not. Not by experience or correct biblical doctrine. Why would the term fall away? Why would Jesus say you could fall away, quote unquote, the Son of God invented that term. Why would the Son of God say that somebody could get saved and fall away if it weren't possible? Luke 8:13. Tell me why you would call the very Son of the living God, the Lord Jesus Christ, a liar. If you're going to continue to say that once saved, always saved is the truth, you are a blasphemous counterfeit, a devil. This is yet another Bible verse that is intentionally taken out of context and misconstrued by the eternal security perpetrators. Eternal salvation. We've got a great post on that on safeguardyoursoul.com. Our eternal security, once saved, always saved category is stock full of great stuff, refuting this damnable doctrine, this heresy of this doctrine of devils that started in the Garden of Eden. And now we got people pushing this as if it's part of the gospel. Absolutely a fulfillment of the great falling away we read about prophetically in this last hour. Amen. Here it is. Hebrews 5:9. They will say, the Bible says that you speaks of eternal salvation, but let's read the Bible verse. Remember, this first of the 3 points we're talking about and weighing in the light of all of Scripture is, quote, you possess eternal life, unquote. Again, that is absolutely a fact if you're in Christ. But if you're living in sin, you're not in Christ. You're going straight to hell. So many counterfeits are taught and they believe that, well, I got saved, so I'm in Christ. Well, the Bible says that in order to stay away from the condemnation of God, and by the way, you got to read the King James Bible, because the little fairy tale, fake news, so-called Bibles, quote unquote, have chopped this verse in half. It's Romans 8:1, which says this. It gives two conditions, not one. If your Bible, compare whatever Bible you're reading, if it's not a King James Bible, to the King James in Romans 8:1. If you got a little bit of conviction and a little bit of fear of God, it's over. You're going to burn that garbage. This is just one of thousands of examples how they have absolutely stripped and butchered the Word of God. Notice the King James Bible says, there is therefore now no condemnation to who? Here it is. To them which are in Christ Jesus. Bam. Hey, number one, you got to be born again. If you're living in sin after being born again, you are not in Christ. And you're going to hell if you die in sin. I'll give you that promise on the authority of the Word of God. You are hereby rebuked and called to repentance before it's too late. You got to be in Christ. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are, number one, in Christ Jesus. And here it is, number two, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. If you're walking in sin, you're walking after the flesh. No excuse. You've chosen to love self more than the Savior, and you're not worthy of Him. That's what He said. So you got to be in Christ and be living in the Spirit, not in the flesh. And that's a daily choice, okay, to be in Christ and to be ready to meet Jesus if you die today. So back to this eternal salvation. They make this out to be, that's it. It can never be lost. That's not true. Eternal salvation is a biblical term. We're going to read the verse in a minute, Hebrews 5:9, because there's context right in this verse. Not even to mention the context of all of Scripture and the book of Hebrews, of all books. So eternal salvation, quote unquote, is promised to who? The verse says, unto all all them that obey him. Listen to the verse. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. That isn't just one time. You've got to abide in Christ, or you're going to be cast into the fire. John chapter 15, verse 6. That's what Jesus taught, that if you don't abide, that simply means to remain in him, to be presently in fellowship with him. And you can't be in fellowship with Jesus and be living in sin. Somebody says, you're teaching sinless perfectionism. No, I'm teaching that you better just confess your sin, return to the Lord, and announce it honestly. I love Proverbs 28:13. I want to encourage you to make this an absolute foundational cornerstone truth of your life by memorizing it, writing it on an index card. Listen to these words of God. Proverbs 28:13, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whosoever confesses and forsakes them shall have mercy. Now, who is it that's going to have mercy from God? Those that confess and what? Forsake their sin. You repent, return to the Lord, you call on him to give you grace to overcome all sin. Jesus taught that you must cut off the hand and pluck out the eye. You must get rid of any sin in your life that causes you to be an offense to God. And again, this is removed from a new fairy tale, satanically corrupted Bible, so-called Bibles.
Or at least chopped up and diminished, depending on which fake Bible you're looking at.
It's Mark 9:42-50. And if your Bible has removed them, your so-called Bible.
Or diminished or cut out the repetition of this passage.
And there's a little marginal note. It's all you got to do is to deceive gullible people. It's to put a little
note in the
margin in there and explain that the earlier manuscript, of course, it's a lie. It's not even true. Who gave them the permission to remove this from God's word? You know what? Their names have been removed from the book of life, and they're going to receive the plagues of Revelation. We have God's word on it. It's the most severe warning in the Bible, Revelation 22:18-19. You better not participate in adding to or removing from God's word not one jot or tittle, or you are as sure for the lake of fire irrevocably as if you were already there. Leave it alone. Don't give it away. When you see all these verses missing, burn the garbage. All right, so eternal salvation is promised unto all them that obey God. But you got to obey God to the rest of your life. You got to finish strong, beloved. You got to continue. You got to abide. You got to endure to the end to be saved. We're talking initial and ongoing or final salvation. It requires, God requires, if you don't like it, take it up with him. See, a lot of folks, some listening to me right now, do not want any personal responsibility. See, it's very possible, friend, that you've never really repented. You were told that because you said a little prayer that you're now saved. Well, you know what? If you didn't repent, God didn't save you. You got to render repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't make it hard, but you got to stop your life and turn yourself over to Jesus. Amen. Rendering obedience to the faith. Romans chapter 1, verse 5 uses that term. You see, you got saved? Good. You need to stay saved. You need to be a wise virgin. By the way, you need to cut off these animals. A wolf is an animal, so that's fair game, that language. And Jesus said, beware of these wolves who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Matthew 7:15. The Apostle John said, try the spirits to see whether they are of God. Listen to this. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit. If you believe every spirit, and now let me just say in the context of this message, if you're still going to sit under and believe the message and the spirit, the evil spirit behind these vile devils, these snakes that are teaching you that you're unconditionally eternally secure, are not warning you, you're submitting to the devil is what you're doing. Because the Bible says there are spirits, seducing spirits behind these doctrines of devils. And if there was ever a doctrine of devil, it's once saved, always saved. And that's verified. Go put your own eyes and your finger on Genesis 2:17 and 3:4. You tell me where this doctrine started, where it originated. I'm going to tell you, it started, God said it started with Satan. Beloved, 1 John 4:1. This is another memory verse. Believe not every spirit, but try or test the spirits to see whether they're of God, because many, not a few, many false prophets are going out into the world. If something they're saying is not aligning with Scripture, they are of the devil. They are false prophets, false teachers. Run for your life and sit under, commune with believers who are honest about the Scriptures. They're in the Word, and the Word is getting in them more every day, and they're going to change and be corrected and pliable and teachable to the Word of God. You see, they're not trying to be correct. They're trying to be biblical. And this boils down to humility being so beautiful and pride being so ugly. Pride cometh before destruction, and a haughty spirit before the fall. Amen. These guys, like the guy I'm dealing with that I told you I was dealing with today, he did not want to repent. He was not going to listen to the Word of God, even though it overwhelmingly, completely destroyed his argument on unconditional eternal security. See, though eternal life is eternal, the possession of it is not necessarily eternal. It's not unforfeitable. And any honest student of the Bible is going to come to that conclusion. And let me just say this. Anybody who believes this unconditional eternal security heresy, this falsehood, was told to believe that. There's no such thing as a person getting saved and getting in the Word of God for themselves and coming out with this idea, you're somehow unconditionally eternally secure. Impossible. It's nowhere to be found in the Bible other than to be Satan's false teaching. Now, that doesn't mean people can't pull out Scripture and ignore the context of not only the immediate verse, but the whole of Scripture and make this sound like it's true, but it's not true. We've got one post talking about the proof text the eternal securists use to so-called, quote-unquote, prove this heresy. It's absolutely exploded. They absolutely refuse to listen to and acknowledge the context. They don't even want to hear it. And it's right there in the context. And we may get to one of those here in a minute, such as, you know, the promise that no man can pluck you out of my hands. But who's Jesus talking to? Read the context. So they're only going to take you to John 10, 28 and 29. But if you read what Jesus said in verse 27, the very preceding verse, he's given that promise only to those that hear his voice and follow him. That's present tense. If you're not hearing Christ's voice today, you're not seeking his face and seeking to walk with him. I didn't say you were sinlessly perfect. You're engaging in a relationship with Jesus. And he said it's daily or it's not at all. Then this promises of being kept by God and no man being able to pluck you out of his hands are to you. If and only if you're abiding in Christ today. Otherwise, those promises don't apply to you at all. You are not appropriating them. You have put yourself, you have plucked yourself out of his hand because you're more interested in serving your own self than the Savior. If you were interested in serving the Savior, and if you are today, you're denying yourself, taking up your cross and following him. You are declaring with John the Baptist, he must increase, but I must decrease. You are declaring with the Apostle Paul that you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Amen. You are declaring with the Apostle Paul that I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 2:20. Oh, let me throw in 5:24, which Paul said, quote, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. When's the last time you heard that wolf who calls himself a pastor that you sit under give you these verses? If you're like most churchgoers, you've never heard him stick these kind of verses in your face because he's more intent upon entertaining goats than he is feeding sheep. He's worried about keeping the unchurched church. He wants to keep his seats full and his coffers full so he can, you know, have a big salary, keep the mortgage paid. That's all. He doesn't care about your soul. This devil's going straight to hell himself as a false teacher. We got God's word on that. This has all been prophesied, folks. Paul said the time will come. He said, you preach the word, Timothy, you be instant in season and out of season. You reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, for the time will come. Here we are right now, folks. This is where we are. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They will not hold themselves accountable as sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and shall be turned away from the truth and to fables, fairy tales, stories, traditions, not truth. Is that where you find yourself today, friend? I encourage you to get before the Lord today and repent. Bring words of repentance, Hosea 14:1-2, before the Lord. Amen. Come to Jesus before it's too late, and gather only with true believers. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord until he come and rain righteousness upon you. Hosea 10:12. So we're finishing up on the first point. You possess eternal life. While that is true, the possession of eternal life is forfeited if you don't remain with Christ and during it end in an abiding relationship. Somebody says, brother, that's a work salvation. Oh, really? Are you married? Yes or no? If you're married, is your participation in a relationship, an engaging relationship with your wife or your husband, works salvation? No, it's just required in any relationship. It takes two to tango. Listen, you spend all your energy, money, and time on the God of self, and that's okay. But when you hear somebody preach the scriptures that you've got to obey Jesus, that person's a legalist, all of a sudden it's a work salvation? Man, you need to get saved, what you need. Listen to what Jesus said to the church, Revelation 2:26. And he that overcometh, watch the conditions here. They're all over the Bible. Every promise of God is conditional to appropriate for the individual. He that overcometh, what? I got to overcome the flesh, the world, and the devil. You got to lay down your life, or you will not overcome. You're going to follow Jesus on his terms, or you're not going to overcome. You're not even his. You can't make up your own rules or follow some wolf, calls himself a pastor, or your favorite preacher or author, and go to heaven. God gave you his word. You had no excuse. He gave you his terms. You better find out what they are, because most Christians, so-called Christians, don't know what they are. When's the last time you heard somebody say something that's all over the Gospels? Jesus said, if you any man come after me, if you're going to follow me, if you're not following Jesus, you're not going to heaven. What do you think this is? What do you think you're going to punch your ticket at the door and live like you want and wind up at heaven? Are you kidding me? You're fooling nobody but yourself. Revelation 2:26, and he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. You got to keep his works to the end. That's not work salvation. This is just showing a true saving faith is always going to have good works. Ephesians 2:8-10 ends up with saying, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. You know, people don't want to be tested. They don't want to be convicted. They don't want to be honest. And so when they get convicted, a lot of times, instead of repenting, they rebel and start attacking the mere messenger, the messenger of God's word. You got to overcome. He told everyone, without exception, of the seven churches he addressed in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, he told every one of them that they had to overcome. And notice what he says here in chapter 3 to the church at Sardis. He that overcometh, who? He that overcometh, the same, only those that overcome, shall be clothed in white raiment. That is referring specifically, biblically, to the righteousness of the saints. He's talking to people that had already been saved, as I'm talking to you today. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. There'll be no spots on his garment to eliminate him from the bridal chamber of Christ eternally, the eternal bridal chamber. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. Whoa, what does that tell us? If you don't overcome, your name will be blotted out of the book of life. Clear as day right there, Revelation 3:5. Then he says, but I will confess his name before my Father. And before, again, lie of the ages. Get it on Amazon or get it on safeguardyoursoul.com. It is a blockbuster and a life changer. That's the key, is getting a wide and a broad and an ever-increasing view of what his word says. Let his word be your doctrine only. The second point I want to point out that is a misnomer of the eternal securist is that you are forgiven of all your sins. Now, that is true initially, yet many falsely teach, and have you ever heard this? That all past, present, and future sins are automatically completely forgiven no matter what. Have you ever heard that? That's what they perpetrate. That's the thing, one of the things they peddle, that you don't ever have to worry about sin again, in the sense that God will never count your sins against you because he sees you through the blood of Jesus and you're completely washed no matter how you live. That is absolutely the most demonic teaching ever. It could not be more demonic. The wages of sin is still death, my friend. Romans 6:23. Death means separation every time it's in the Bible. Now, whether that be a physical death where your spirit is separating from your body, body without the spirit is death, James 2:26, or you being separated, dead in your trespasses and sins. You can't be living in sin and be in communion with God. God is holy, holy, holy. This is another doctrine you're never going to hear, scripture you're never going to hear taught. That's his only attribute that he mentions not only once, but twice in triplicate, Isaiah 6:3, Revelation chapter 4, verse 8. So all of your future sins and your present sins are not automatically forgiven. God requires that you walk in the light as he is in the light. And then and only then do you have fellowship with him. And only then does the blood of Jesus Christ continue to cleanse you from all sins. If, remember, if, that's a two-letter nightmare to the eternal security crowd, because it denotes clearly condition. Salvation is conditional, not unconditional. God requires that to be saved, you repent and believe on Christ. He saves you then, but he requires that you endure to the end. The forgiveness of present and future sins is contingent upon the abiding walk of the person who was initially saved. He must remain in Christ to continue to receive divine forgiveness, or else all of his sins are counted against him. Romans, the book of Romans, chapter 3, verse 25, speaks of the sins that are past. Wow, isn't that interesting? It doesn't say past, present, and future. I mean, this nails it. This absolutely exposes them again, once again, as being false teachers. All past, present, and future sins are automatically forgiven. Total heresy. Notice the only time that a statement like that appears in the Bible is it says the, quote, sins that are past. It stops right there, not the present and future sins. Notice Romans 3:25, whom God, speaking of Jesus, has set forth to be a propitiation and atoning sacrifice through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. It deals with, this scripture is dealing with initial salvation. Notice 1 John 1:7. This is a memory verse. So change your life. If, it says, if we walk in the light, that's a condition. It's a choice every day. As he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, you and Jesus. And the blood of his son, Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sins. Notice, your sins are only going to continually be cleansed as you walk in the light, not if you walk in darkness, in the flesh, in sin. Present and future sins are forgiven as the divinely stated conditions of repentance and confession of sin are adhered to by the recipient of salvation. Notice he didn't just say that he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us all of all unrighteousness. He said it's only if you confess them. He's talking to the body of Christ. God requires that you be honest with him in this relationship. And that what relationship is going to prosper or be intact between men and women or you and God if there's not honesty? It's not going to be a relationship. It's going to be a bad one. And God's not going to put up with it because he's perfect. He's holy, holy, holy. And he commanded you to be ye holy, for I am holy. So if, it's only if, there's a contingency, there's a condition. If we confess our sins, then God will faithfully forgive and cleanse us. Notice Hebrews 3:6. I'm not going to read all of these because it's so many and I'm trying to keep this short and I've not done that. And notice Hebrews 3:6, another example. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of hope firm unto the end. Just what Jesus taught, you got to endure to the end. Notice verse 14, Hebrews 3. For we are made partakers of Christ. Christians, he's speaking to holy brethren. Chapter 3, verse 1. The same chapter. He's talking, the whole book's written to holy brethren. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast. Here it is again. Unto the end. There you go. Lots of other verses. Let's get to number 3. And finally, as we close. Now notice this is another famous misnomer. This is a false assumption taught by eternal security wolves. Here it is. You ready? You are sealed by the Holy Spirit until, and that's what this meme said today that I was telling you about earlier. Notice the word until. Underline that in your mind for a minute because I'm going to show you something here. Another revelation of their deception. You are sealed by the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. That's exactly what that meme stated. That is not what the Bible says. You ready for this? Ephesians 4:30. I'm going to read it to you. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. First of all, they redefine the word sealed. Now, I want to encourage you to go on safeguardyoursoul.com when you finish this message and put in the word sealed, S-E-A-L-E-D, and there's going to come at least 2 posts up that are absolutely life-changing about what does that really mean. They make it sound like it's an indelible seal. You could never get rid of it. You could never get out of it. Ridiculous heresy, folks. How many sealed envelopes have you opened lately? They were sealed, weren't they? I'm going to give you a little precursor here, but I want you to go read those 2 articles. Sealed, the same Greek word here. This is a bombshell right here. The same Greek word here used for sealed unto the day of redemption, not until, but unto, is used in Matthew 27:66. You ready for this? When it says that Jesus' tomb was sealed. Oh boy, oh boy. Now, we all know, and you're not saved if you don't believe this, that the record of Scripture, the testimony of Holy Scripture, is that the sealed tomb of Jesus was unsealed and that he rose again from the dead and came out of that tomb, right? That wasn't an indelible, unbreakable seal, was it? No, it couldn't have been. Nobody could be saved if Jesus didn't rise from the dead. And in order for that to happen, in that scenario, the tomb was unsealed. Wow. So notice, sealed unto Ephesians 4:30, not unto. until the eternal security deception, as usual, this heresy is perpetrated by those who twist scripture, saying that it was until instead of unto, which is a completely different thing. Jesus said you got to endure unto the end. It's an open-ended thing. You're on probation. I know people don't like that. They want to feel like they're secure no matter what they do. And they're not. See, people that don't want accountability to the Lord, hey, they don't want the cross. They don't want to deal with all this. They want to believe they're once saved, always saved, eternally secure, unconditionally, so that they don't have to deal with all these hard truths that Jesus gave. That's why they don't dig into the, first of all, that's why they like these little fake pansy Bibles that are fake news. They're not real Bibles, because they don't like the sharp two-edged sword of the real Word of God, the King James. That's why these little cowards that we call pastors, I don't know, use these new versions, because they could perpetrate their wares. They could build their little church business a lot easier with these smooth things. Isaiah 30, verse 9 and 10, the people cry out. They heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, crying out, give us smooth things. You know, we don't want to endure sound doctrine. And if that's you, God's calling you to repent. There's a whole lot more that could be said about this, but I want you to study to show you. I want to encourage you to study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And remember, Jesus said, if you don't abide in him, you will be cast into the fire and burn for all eternity, consciously, irrevocably. John chapter 15, verse 6. God bless you, friends. Thank you for listening, and thank you for supporting the outreach ministry of safeguardyoursoul.com. It takes seconds to do. We got Bible, King James Bibles. We got scripture-rich books. We got 20 of them on the bookstore now, and they are loaded with scripture and all the scriptures of both. We got those going into jails all across the country. We got them going all over the world, Africa and all over the world. Bibles, King James Bibles. We just sent a nice shipment, two shipments out. Got another one going out this week. We need your support for that. I believe, according to the Word of God, that you're laying up treasure in heaven by putting it into the good soil of the Word of God going forth. God bless you. Thank you for listening, and we will be speaking and preaching at you soon if the Lord tarries.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen.